The following is a production of Different Brains. Visit us at differentbrains.org.
The following Different Brains content was funded in part by the Community Foundation of Broward and support from people like you. In this episode of Exploring Different Brains.
I think, too, often people with disabilities were dismissed or things were done for them, to them. So it's really important to have our voices, you know, represented and heard, and not somebody else talking for us. The mantra from the independent living rights movement is nothing about us without us, because many things were always being done for us and to us. So that's part of what we teach in Project SALT, you know, getting your voice out heard.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Hacky Reitman. Welcome to another episode of Exploring Different Brains. And today, I'm so glad we have from the University of Miami's SALT program that we're going to learn all about. We're joined by the program coordinators, Shelly Baer and Jairo Arana. Welcome, Shelly and Jairo.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Shelly, why don't you go first and introduce yourself better than I did to our audience?
Sure. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having us. I'm Shelly Baer, and I'm the Director of Leadership Training Initiatives here at the University of Miami School of Medicine at the Melman Center for Child Development. So I coordinate our leadership development programs here. One of them is Project SALT, which we're going to be talking about today, Project Self-Advocate Leadership Training. I'm also a clinical social worker, so I do some social worky stuff here at the Melman Center, but my main role is teaching and training and leadership skills development. I've been working here about 12 years.
Nice.
Thank you.
Jairo, you're up next.
Thank you, Dr. Hacky Reitman. Hi, everyone. I'm Jairo Arana. I'm a clinical program coordinator here at the University of Miami Melman Center for Child Development. I did Project SALT. I'm a trainer, and I assist Shelly with our pipeline leadership programs. Project SALT is one of the programs that we do. We'll later on get on into a little more about the programs that we have about advocacy and disability in general. I was in the third cohort of Project SALT, and now I came on board as a part-time consultant and was hired here full-time in December of 2017, and have been working since then.
I'm going to get right to it. What is the SALT program?
Shelly?
Okay, so SALT stands for Self-Advocate Leadership Training, and it's a three-day intensive training about leadership and advocacy for adults with disabilities, so 18 and over, cross disabilities. So we take individuals with intellectual disabilities, physical disabilities, with autism, sensory disabilities, and we teach self-determination, advocacy skills, disability culture, civil rights, communication skills. We have it, it's very interactive. Mm-hmm. So we're not just up there lecturing the students. We like to teach by doing and experiential learning. So it was a grant. It was funded by the Florida Developmental Disabilities Council. And now it's embedded into one of our training grants that we have here at the University of Miami School of Medicine, Melman Center. And we just finished our 14th cohort last week.
Congratulations.
Yeah, we're excited. We keep the cohort small, no more than 8 to 10 individuals. And I'm proud to say that Jairo went through our SALT training, and he can share his story of what that was like for him. It's a train-the-trainer model, so we bring in graduates of the program to come back and teach it, you know, help us teach it. So, Jairo, I'm going to let you share your journey if you want to share your diagnosis and, you know, the how all that worked out for you.
So thank you, Shelley. Yeah, I was diagnosed with a late diagnosis in Asperger's. Now, that was in 2013. That was the same year that if I get my history correct, I think that's the year that Asperger's was taken out of the DSM Diagnostic Statistic Manual in 2013 from autism. Anyway, I always identify as a person with autism. It was a late diagnosis. It was something I had to cope with. I had to play catch up, so to speak, like, you know, learn as much as I could about autism. And I was still coping with my late diagnosis when I registered with CARD, our Center for Autism and Related Disabilities. We have several all over Florida. I was on their mailing list, and so they would send me emails about resources. Many of these resources were quite helpful, and one of these resources happened to be Project SALT. Project SALT is a 3-day intensive. It's cross disabilities, so we have people from with various disabilities, and I was still coping with my diagnosis. It wasn't until day two that it finally hit me. And then because it's so long, it's like from 10 in the morning to like 4 in the afternoon. We have several breaks. I stepped away for a break, one of the many breaks that we have. And that's when it finally dawned on me, or when I had that moment of clarity where I'm like, wait a minute, there's so many barriers here for people with disabilities, of all disabilities. I start to notice if, like, you know, does the elevator have, you know, Braille on the buttons? Is a drinking fountain low enough for everyone? I just start to see things quite differently. I think I saw things from a different perspective. And then I'm like thinking, okay, well, I had a late diagnosis. That sucks. I wish I would have had the diagnosis sooner. I would have put a lot of things more into perspective. But then I was like, wait a minute. We live in a society that is not, I mean, yeah, we have the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, which was signed in 1990, but sometimes it's like, you know, the bare minimum. It's like, you know, as long as you're complying, but not, you know, just complying, you know, fine, but we live in a society where there's barriers, structural barriers. And it changed my perspective. I like to say I went from the me to the we. I'm like, wait a minute, I have to advocate not only for myself but for others. And I just started to, and it just from there it became a big journey.
Tell us a little bit about the step-by-step of what the program involves.
Yes. So it's 3 days, and day one is all about focusing on yourself, focusing on self, because you can't really be an effective leader or advocate, and if you don't really know yourself and your feelings and what you stand for. That day we also talk about disability culture. We do the disability civil rights movement. We do a lot on communication skills, listening skills. Ira, just chime in if I forget anything, but day one is really, each day builds on the next. So day one is really about self.
Day two, problem solving skills too.
That's day two. Yeah. Day two, we broadened out to working with others. Mm-hmm. Because how do you work on a team? Your interdependence, you know, your more power working with others than alone. We do a problem solving method. So we teach all this, and they get a handbook. We use PowerPoints, we use videos. We have some activities that we do. And then day two is also working in the community. So how do you serve on a board? What is your passion? Like, what are you interested in doing, volunteer-wise or, you know, disability community-wise? So we give them a lot of information.
And who should consider joining the SALT program?
Anybody who is 18 and over who has a disability. Mm-hmm. So, and it could be a mental illness too. And we actually last year, remember, Hiro, we had somebody who had more of a mental disability, like bipolar, yes, or, you know, invisible disabilities. But it's really open to all individuals who have a disability. And it's, we interview everybody so that everybody who applies, we schedule an interview with them because we want to make sure they're a good fit. And it's group dynamics too. And then we also, we want them to show some interest in learning and growing and how to be, if they want to grow their skills as an advocate or a leader, or if they've done things already in the community, that is a plus. You know, we want, like Hiro had that, you know, he had those desires to want to grow and improve himself. So we look for that too.
What kind of progress would you like to be made overall in the disability community, especially here in South Florida?
Oh, there's so much of transportation for one. That's a big issue. A lot of people rely on there. We don't have as accessible transportation as people would like. Public transportation and just being able to plan activities because of the transportation services that we have, where things can be a little narrow when it comes to having that flexibility.
Which city has the best transportation for those of us with disabilities? Do you know offhand? Like, what's a model program?
That's a good question. I think Boston is good as far as transportation because they have collaborated with Uber. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, the paratransit system, which here in Miami, it's STS. In Broward, it's something different. But there's so many complaints about STS here.
I was going to mention that I was recently in New York City, but that can be a very overwhelming city. I got overwhelmed in the 2 days or three that I was there. But yeah, they have the subway, and although that can make me a little claustrophobic sometimes, but yeah.
I guess another concern that I've noticed in the disability community is the transitioning age when young adults are in high school and they graduate. If they're not on the college track, they often fall off the cliff. And there's not a lot of support services. There's not a lot of programs. You know, we're here in the Center for Child Development. So but Hiro and I work with teenagers and young adults. There's many, many programs and services for children, but children grow up. So we've run into that as a big gap and barrier.
Well, you just hit the nail on the head, because that's why here at differentbrains.org, we start our internship with our wonderful interns here. They have to be at least 18.
Really?
Yes, because like you say, everyone's about, oh, the cute little children, you know, well, they grow up, you know. They got to get a job, they got to go to school, they got to, you know, get in the community, so.
Learn how to manage our finances, learning to be a little more independent, as independent as possible.
Right.
Tell us a bit about your connections to the disability or special needs community in general. Hiro, let's start with you.
Well, thank you. My connection. Well, I learned my connection is basically, well, my late diagnosis, and then I learned about Project SALT through CARD, Center for Autism Related Disabilities. The vast majority of my friends, the vast majority are either on the spectrum or have some kind of disability. And that's pretty much the connection I have is after I got involved with this in the world of advocating for people with disabilities, advocating for myself and then and advocating for others. I've just come on board full time with Shelly since 2017. Attended conferences like our CART conference up in Orlando. I've also attended our AUCD conference up in Washington, D.C., or our Association of University Centers for Disabilities. I've learned a lot about disability, and it's an ongoing learning process for me. And I think that's the relation I have when it comes to disabilities, learning from other people's disabilities, because I'm still learning. And the way I learn about disabilities is by being involved with other people with disabilities. I get to learn about them and their experience in the world.
Shelley?
Oh, thanks. My connection with disability in the community is broad and long. I'm old, but it starts with having a disability, a physical disability, mobility disability, and, feeling part of a community too. Mm-hmm. Like it's one of my identities, but it's not my only identity. So it's definitely shaped who I am. And now I get to work in the disability community and creating these leadership programs for people with disabilities, for high school students, and for emerging professionals. So I get to affect change on a broader systems level with the work that I get to do. I also created a resource guide called Access Miami. So I'm always attempting to give back to the community. I also did a photography exhibition showcasing disabled women's beauty, sensuality, and empowerment. So I'm always involved in doing new and creative things for the community. And we work at a center that is focused on children with developmental disabilities. So I feel very blessed that we get to do the work we do, at the university.
Why are self-advocacy voices so important when we're talking about advancing the cause of something like neurodiversity?
Well, that's a very good question. Thank you for the question, Dr. Hakia. I feel like it's very important to have our views, our experiences heard or expressed so that people know what it's like to be experiencing autism and dispel myths that so many myths out there. And also the importance of one of the things I've learned with my autism experiences and that is mentioned quite a lot is that every experience with autism is different. So that's something that I've also learned by interacting with other people on the spectrum. I feel that with self-advocacy, we get to express our needs, our wants, our concerns, whatever anxieties we have about being involved in the world and being able to participate in the world, being able to navigate it in the world around us. I think that it's important to have our voices, our experiences out there expressed.
I think too, some often people with disabilities were dismissed or things were done for them, to them. So it's really important to have our voices, represented and heard and not somebody else talking for us. The mantra from the independent living rights movement is nothing about us without us. Because many things were always being done for us and to us. So that's part of what we teach in Project SALT, getting your voice out heard. Your lived experience, like Hira was saying, it's also different for everybody. Even though I have arthritis, there are many people that have different types or, it's not visible. So I like Hira, what you said about, you see one person with autism, it's one person with autism.
And it's very important for me, when I know that that I don't have some barriers that other people with autism have. So I make it something that I'm very mindful of, that I keep reminding myself if some people have difficulty advocating for themselves, at least as a friend and as an advocate for others. I not only advocate for myself, I advocate for others, and I try to bring them to the table, advocate for having them at least present, at least heard, or where they're right there, at least with the rest of us, and not excluded. That's what I try to do. And I do it by learning from them what their needs and wants are, simply by hanging out with them because they're my friends. I've learned amidst amazing people. I've met amazing people and learned about how their beautiful minds work. It's like it's and sometimes it can be a little nonverbal, and it's like, and I don't get it. And sometimes I'm like, wait a minute. And then just by spending time with them and getting to know who they are, what their world inner world is like, I get to learn something new from them.
What would you both like to cover that we haven't covered yet?
I think I'll like just share with Project Salt. We've, you know, had this now for about 6 years, 7 years, and I noticed the growth with some of our individuals that go through Project Salt. You know, you don't, maybe they're quiet in the group and you don't really know if they're taking anything in or, you know, what they're learning. But I've learned not to dismiss them, you know, even if they're more quiet. Because we've had a few, you know, young adults with autism who are more nonverbal, but they're still learning. And so not to dismiss them, you know, take that for granted. That's like a learning for me, because I've never worked directly with people with disabilities before, especially people with autism or people with intellectual disabilities either. And it just gives me a new appreciation for this group that is often disregarded, or they can't do anything, or they can't work, or they don't have talents. That's so false.
Yeah, assumptions are made, and we like to be included in it, as at least when it comes to the decision-making process, we like to be part of like that decision-making where we at least get to listen, speak up, or communicate in whichever way we can. But it's at least being there at the table and being able to.
Exactly.
And not like, you know, this decision was made without me, you know.
I love that, Jairo. Yeah. I mean, I think to remember the Ricky case, and one thing we talk about is like knowing your rights. Mm-hmm. You know, that everybody has civil rights and everybody has rights. We talk about the ADA. And we had an example of a young man who did our first cohort, or our second cohort, actually. And he was very quiet. You know, we didn't really sure what was happening. And then he applied for a job in the county. And we heard that he told them, you better pay me what everybody else is being paid. And he advocated for himself and he got the job because he learned that in Project Salt. Mm-hmm. So that's such a success to us.
Can you give us some examples of some of your other positive outcomes?
Well, Tyra, why don't you share one?
We've had a few of them go through our LEND program, which is the next step in our leadership pipeline leadership program, which is here at the Mailman Center. We have a training program which is called LEND, which is our leadership education in neurodevelopmental disabilities, and we're also a USED, University Center for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities. And there, every state and territory has a LEND or a USED. There's about 60 throughout the country. Mailman Center has both a LEND and a USED. And I've gone on to do LEND, as I was the first LEND self-advocate trainee. And then I went on to do other leadership programs. But we would bring in other self-advocates, people who've done Project Salt and gone on to do our LEND program.
And so Hire is a success for sure. Yeah. He's one of our shining stars from Salt. We had a young woman that did it. She has spina bifida, and she went on to become Miss Wheelchair of Florida. And she also advocated for beach access in Sunny Isles Beach, and she got like the ramp thing going down the beach. And nice. She's told us that she gained her confidence from doing Project Salt.
That's great. That's great. That's really making a big difference. What is one piece of advice that you'd have for someone who wants to become a self-advocate but doubts themselves?
I think what I'm thinking about right now, you just popped into my head. It's like, you never stop learning. And sometimes I think I have had to learn by doing. I think I had self-doubt at the beginning. Right, Shelley?
I think so.
I think I did. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else to say. It's like just, you know, get to know yourself. Get to know what your strengths are, skill sets. And I like to say, just go for it. But Shelley, do you have any advice? Because sometimes I'm like, okay, I think this would work for me, but.
I think too, that's understandable. And mm-hmm. I think what could be beneficial is like finding a mentor finding somebody that you trust and just say yes. And, you know, to different experiences. I did that, you know, because I also had issues with confidence and not thinking myself as a leader. And but, you know, I'm thinking of like our self-advocate that we met with yesterday, Jairo,
mm-hmm.
who did SALT and then he did LEND. And we definitely know he had a lot of insecurities and doubting himself. But Jairo and I were mentoring him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important for young people or somebody who's more not sure where to go or what to do.
The mentorship
how to get
approach.
It. Say it again, Jairo.
The mentorship approach, because Shelley mentored me. And now when we have a self-advocate coming into our LEND program, we mentor that self-advocate because it's okay to have self-doubts, you know, I mean, it's not ideal, but it's okay. We're only human. It's okay to have that self-doubt every now and then.
Shelley Bear and Jairo Arana of the SALT program at the University of Miami, thank you very much for being with us here. We hope you'll come back in the near future and keep up the great work you do for so many. Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Exploring Different Brains is a production of Different Brains. Visit us at differentbrains.org.